This is the Australian Butchers Guild podcast, brought to you by Meat and Livestock Australia, the podcast for passionate butchers.
G'day and welcome to another ABG podcast episode. Today I'm talking with the head teacher of Meat and Allied Trades section at Granville TAFE, Mr. Ben Barrow. Ben and his team have the all-important job of educating apprentices to become the next generations of butchers. Then it's up to Queensland to hear from Roger DeSaley. Roger's the state manager for the Australian Meat Industry Council, where we'll find out what's going on up there in the Sunshine State. And then finally, a domestic market wrap-up with Rip Atkinson. He's one of our market analysts at Meat and Livestock Australia. So sit tight and I hope you enjoy the next 30 minutes of this episode. First cab off the rank tonight, Ben Barrow. Ben, welcome to the Australian Butchers Guild podcast, mate.
Yeah, g'day, Doug. Thank you very much for having me this evening.
How's life out there in Sydney at the moment for you? You're working from home like a lot of us?
Yeah, we are. We're continuing our connected delivery with TAFE New South Wales, ensuring our students are progressing during this pandemic, which is certainly a challenge. But we're doing everything that we can to make sure that pathway's continued.
Great to hear. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of it, mate. So how did you get started in butchering, mate? What drove you to want to be a butcher?
Mate, it was quite different. My father was in the aircraft industry and, there was no ties to the actual butcher shop. So, I started my career as a washout boy. And that went further on to work experience. And then I was offered an apprenticeship at the tender age of 15. Haven't looked back.
15 is a popular year with a lot of butchers, I think. It was a good escape out of school. Didn't have to do any more homework and get out there and earn a reasonable living.
Yeah, I think it was mainly, like when I was at school, Doug, I really enjoyed the technical subjects where I was working with my hands. And that's really what drove me to work in a butcher shop. You're using your hands a lot, but also the love of eating.
You're right. You know, I think I loved woodwork. I loved metalwork. Did a little bit of cooking at school too. So I knew I wasn't destined to be in the insurance company like my father and my brother were. So I was the black sheep of the family.
Very similar, mate.
So you started your apprenticeship and you went through, you obviously worked for a few shops over the years, and now you're the head teacher for Meat and Allied Trades in Granville TAFE, mate. One of the best TAFEs around, I think. It's one of the most modern facilities that we have in Australia.
Yeah, it's a fantastic facility, Doug, for the apprentices coming through, but also for the trade to come and have a look at and be a part of. It certainly went through a bit of a restructure in 2015. A pleasure to work in, actually, Doug.
So how did that come about? How did you end up getting off the knives and getting into that sort of a role?
In 2005, Doug, I was heavily involved in the retail butchery and small goods sector of the industry, and I was invited to come and apply for a part-time position. So I went away and I did a little bit of studied my Certificate 4 in Training and Assessment, and that enabled me to apply for a part-time role in TAFE, which in 2006 I was successful in applying for. And then it was a steep but fast curve up to the head teacher role.
That that training and assessment certificate that you have to do, that's a lot of work involved in gaining that accreditation, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly. And I think for myself at the time, I hadn't been at school for a number of years. Obviously did the TAFE component as an apprentice, but up until then, that was the only formal study that I did. And it was certainly challenging, but at the same time, very rewarding as well.
Yeah, I completed it a few years ago myself, and I know that the modules change, so you've got to keep updating all those modules too. So to maintain your role as a teacher or as head teacher or even a teacher, you've got to keep that all updated, don't you?
Yeah, certainly, both in the educational sense, but also in our currency for our delivery.
That's very technical sort of material that you go through there. I know I've been asked to have a look through some of the material that you guys teach, and it baffles me so many times. I look at all this paperwork, look at the courses, and I go, crikey, you know, you guys certainly have a lot of work to do, not just in upskilling the apprentices, but it's all this behind the scenes work that takes place.
Yeah, it certainly is, Doug. I think when you're standing in front of a class, that is the the best part of your week. Whether it's a day class or it's an evening class, it's most enjoyable when you're back on your favourite part of the job, which is a knife in your hand. But I think most importantly, it's all the back work that goes into the programs that we develop and we run at TAFE. It's there to increase the capability of the industry, but it's there to not only that, but keep the young people engaged. I think by transforming our delivery into something that's current, something that's ready for today, but also tomorrow, it's certainly a joy to be a part of.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, like these are the next generation of our industry, aren't they? A lot of these apprentices that are coming through, and they're the new guys that are going to be out there running some of the butcher shops around town and owning their own businesses as well. So it's crucial that they complete this type of formal training.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Doug. It's not only just getting a qualification, it's about celebrating that as well. It's certainly an accomplishment to get a Certificate 3 in meat processing, retail butcher, but also to walk down the street and be very proud that you are a person that's well on the way to getting a qualification. And in a trade which is so specialised as retail butchery.
Yeah, look, I've visited a few of the TAFEs around the country over the years, and I've presented on various topics, and it's a great buzz to actually walk into a butcher shop years down the track and see these people in their own stores, and they actually remember who you are. And I think somebody mentioned something that they remembered me going into their shop doing a presentation. I think it was down at Wollongong many years ago, and then they even remembered what I actually did. So I didn't put everybody to sleep that was in the class. So this guy must have been one of the few that was awake.
No, it certainly is quite memorable when you get those that bit of feedback. It's goes to show that what you've been doing is for a cause, and it's getting a bit of traction.
You celebrate the achievements too every year, don't you, at Granville?
Yeah, the team work very hard in making sure all the students that come through, their success gets reflected at our graduations. Due to COVID, obviously, we haven't been able to do that, but as soon as we get the green light, we'll be looking forward to celebrate that again. And what it does do too, Doug, it not only celebrates the apprentice achievements, but it brings our industry together. Seeing 300 people in a room celebrating the success of our apprentices and also supporting the sponsorship for those awards that they get, it's very empowering for the individuals, but also gives them a bit of recognition, but also a pathway forward with that networking.
One of the parts about the Achievement Awards is seeing a lot of these young men and women come up there dressed nicely, and how happy they are to have achieved what they've set out to do many years ago, and now they're free, they've been unleashed on the world now. So it's a very valuable thing to go through for them.
Yeah, certainly. I'm glad you mentioned the appearance of the young men and women that come up to get their awards. At TAFE, we're very, very passionate, obviously, about our industry, but it's about raising the bar, increasing that professionalism, and that starts with the appearance.
Yeah, no, it definitely is, mate. It's been a ongoing part of the awards that you hold there, and yeah, like I said, I'm very impressed with a lot of the young men and women that are coming through. And speaking of women, mate, there's quite a few females coming through the trade now again. We went through a little bit of a lull there for a few years, and by crikey, I've walked into a few shops and there's some really fantastic work being done by some of the young ladies in the trade.
Yeah, certainly. So I think that's one of the major changes within our industry, Doug. There's a lot of young women that are matching it with the men in their ability, but even going past them in their creative flair. They certainly add another dimension, not only working in the front of house, but also being in the back of the butcher shop and doing the hard work. It's quite empowering seeing not only the success of the female apprentices, but I believe one won the Young Butchers opportunity with the World Butchers Challenge.
But what about, so if I was a butcher looking to put on a new apprentice, what are the steps? What do I need to do?
So first of all, you'll need to get in touch with an Australian Apprenticeship Centre. They will come out and do the formal sign-up. Now, there's opportunities where you can either put on an apprentice just as they are, you can put on a school-based apprentice. There's even part-time traineeships and apprenticeships that are available. But first of all, get that registration piece done, and that ties in the TAFE with the employer and the apprentice. They will then either come to TAFE or there'll be a blended delivery model.
And is there any sort of government assistance there at all anymore?
What we've seen lately, Doug, there's been a massive increase in apprentices, not just in the retail butchery trade, but across all trades. And that's due to the Boosting Apprenticeship Commencement Scheme. That scheme has been extended until the 31st of March next year, whereby the government will support the wage subsidy by 50% for that apprentice. And that could be anything up to $7,000 per quarter for the first 12 months. So possibly $28,000 will be contributed by the government. In saying that too, you still got the commencement incentives and the completion incentives, which come along with the apprenticeship. So $1,500 at the commencement and $2,500 at the completion. We've noticed that quite a lot at TAFE, some apprentices are coming through and they're a bit more mature. So apprentices over 21 years of age may be eligible for a further $4,000 to that employer.
Yeah, that's not a bad incentive, is it?
Yeah, there are some nice carrots there dangling, ready to put someone into the industry, but to nurture them.
It certainly would be handy, especially if you are a struggling butcher, if you've only got one or two men and you really need that extra pair of hands in the shop, and it just sort of, you know, you put that little bit of an incentive there, and then they invest, the employers invest in putting in another employee or bringing on an apprentice. It certainly makes it a lot more viable, and you know the income that you can generate by having that extra set of hands in the shop.
Certainly, Doug, I think it's a great opportunity to put two apprentices on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, increase your younger workforce, get them competing against one another, and driving the business forward. I think the young people out there today, there's no need to make them work 70 hours a week. You'd be better off bringing on two apprentices, split the load, and give that quality of life as well, that work-life balance.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea when you think about it, because we see so many apprentices leave the trade as well for varying reasons, and mainly because they don't get to spend any time with their mates on the weekends, because they're working most weekends. So if they can split that shift up and have a Friday, Saturday or a Sunday, Monday off, it certainly makes it a lot more attractive, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does, but then also reward them with a bit more money as well. I think there's so many industries out there that we compete against to get quality young people. It's certainly something that I'd be looking at doing.
That's great. Sounds like you're doing a fantastic job. You and the team, all the boys out there at Granville, are doing a great job with the next generation coming through. But you've also run some other classes there as well, not just meat and allied or meat retailing, that you do a couple other short courses as well.
Yeah, we do. We also offer, which we're trying to work towards for next year, Doug, is a Certificate 3 in Small Goods Manufacture. So that's something that we're focused on. We're also looking at Cert 2 in Food Services to provide counter hands a qualification, getting those people skilled up so they can do some slicing. But those short courses, they have certainly been a win-win situation for TAFE New South Wales, but also for the individuals coming through. And we've created them more like a masterclass, Doug. So they're all over two nights. We've got it split up, so you've got lamb, you've got beef classes, you've got sausage making, salami production, ham and bacon, and then one of my favourites we've introduced lately is beer brewing.
Ah, one of your favourites. I think that must be just about every butcher's favourite one, wouldn't it? You'd be getting quite a few signing up for that one.
Yeah, it's been quite positive, Doug. It's but what goes better together? Meat and beer.
It's a marriage made in heaven, isn't it?
It certainly is.
And you're also a very keen barbecuer too. I know that. I don't know if you're still in a team. I know you were in a team for a few years.
We're still there. We're just waiting for the COVID bubble to disappear. But it's a great thing where you can kick back with some quality people and and do something you love doing, where cooking's a big part of any butcher's life, I think. And I certainly enjoy it, even though the competitions aren't running at the moment. My smoke is going every weekend.
I hear you, mate. I hear you. It's nothing better. And you know, and how popular is it, like, for the whole low and slow cooking movement is taken off just massively over the last few years in Australia?
It certainly has. And on the back of that, Doug, for our future delivery, we've incorporated a lot of those specialised techniques for the apprentices, particularly when they come towards the end. They're going to be learning how to prepare all those cuts. So that's certainly going to be a win for the businesses that send their apprentices to TAFE.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, you often, if you're standing in a butcher shop, not I wouldn't say all the time, but you do hear the odd comment like, how do I cook a brisket properly? Or, you know, how can I cook that shoulder of lamb? There's always a question there about, should I buy my old man a new smoker for Christmas? Of course you should. You know, having these apprentices there with that knowledge is a must.
Yeah, I think that might be one of our new short courses too, Doug, moving forward. A bit of barbecuing. I think once a lot of businesses realise that is a big market, I think it's certainly going to take off even further.
Yeah, gone are the days where we throw in brisket into mince trim and sausages. It's all pull it out and whack it in the display case, and someone will buy it and put it in the smoker over the weekend.
Yeah, that's right, prize piece.
So before we wrap up tonight, mate, favourite cut of beef and lamb. Here's a curly one for you.
Oh, mate, I think with the emergence of dry aging, I think my favourite, no doubt, would be a dry-aged Cattleman Cutlet. It'd be reverse seared over charcoal, supported by a nice dark ale. Sensational. And in terms of lamb, my personal favourite would be a shoulder. Just love it. Low and slow.
Yeah, you can't beat the shoulder, I don't think. Really, I remember years ago when customers would come into the butcher shop and you'd get somebody ask for a shoulder of lamb, and I'd talk them out of it, and they'd say, no, go for a leg. There's a lot more value in it. It's a bigger piece of meat. You've got less bone, more meat there. Yields better. And as I've got older, I've learnt, hey, forget the leg. Shoulder is far superior when it's cooked properly. Absolutely sensational. You've got me.
No, definitely, mate. And being a butcher, step one, you know how to prepare all these things, but more importantly, we know how to cook them.
Valuable information for the customers, mate.
Certainly is. And they're the ones we need to please. And by doing that, I'm talking about raising the profile of our businesses that are putting the apprentices through, but also the retail businesses themselves, making sure that, one, their hygiene's right, touching base on what Peter Bouchshaw said in the last podcast about the uniform, about the dress code. That's the basis of professionalism, and that's something that we're certainly doing at TAFE.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good to hear. Actually, just touching on that too, mate, I know over the last 2 weeks, we've sold more ABG aprons in the last 2 weeks than we'd sold all year. We've actually had to order some more in. So obviously, quite a few of the butchers are either it's coincidence or they listened into what Peter actually said, and they've taken it on board, because you know, presentation, we do it with our windows, but why not present ourselves properly too?
Oh, that's right. It's about that complete package, Doug, and everyone singing the same tune. I think no matter whether you're working at TAFE or you're working in a private business or you're running a football team, it's very similar.
All right, mate. Well, I'm going to let you get going now. Thank you very much for your time today. And I'll look forward to catching up with you for a cattleman's cutlet and a dark ale very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks very much for your time, Doug.
Next up, we've got Roger DeSaley. Roger's the Queensland Australian Meat Industry Council State Manager. Roger, welcome aboard, mate.
Thank you. Good evening.
How's everything going up there in the Sunshine State?
Pretty good. We have no complaints up here compared to the rest of the country. So, no, we're doing okay and feeling for our southern friends.
Mate, so what's going on up there? I can't get up there and see anybody, so it's up to you to tell everybody what's happening in the Sunshine State.
Well, you know, AMIC, in spite of COVID and some of the challenges that we're facing, AMIC is sort of powering on in Queensland, and, you know, we've been through a pretty sort of tough 18 months, and unfortunately I think the horizon's not totally clear yet, but so we've been busy servicing our members through the COVID period, and keeping in touch, engaged, Seeing if there's anything we can do to help them navigate this sort of unusual and complex environment that we find ourselves in. So, we've been lucky up here. We've had a couple of lockdowns, but they've only been short. So our sort of shop visit, particularly our retail shop visit plan and our general member engagement has pretty much continued relatively close to business as normal. And certainly in the last few months, we've been out and about, myself and Darren, on the road running Sausage King, regional Sausage King events and other AMIC marketing and member engagement events, and getting out and just basically seeing how we can help our retail and other members navigate the COVID environment and continue to sell plenty of meat protein.
I was lucky enough to get a little trip up to tropical Queensland, up to far north Queensland earlier in the year, and to do a bit of Sausage King judging up there. And I got to say, mate, that the entries that were put forward up there were brilliant. There were some great sausages there. And one thing I took away from that is the pride that everybody has when they deliver their sausages. They all look like soldiers lined up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the same caliber casings, the same tray. They just really take a lot of pride in the way that they delivered their sausages. So a really great outcome there.
And that's true, Doug. And as we have gone around the regions over the last 7 months, every time we go to a new region, we say that, this is a really top quality produce, well presented, very innovative recipes and mixes, and then we get to the next region and we do it again, and it's like it's just a step up. So It's looking very good for the state championships coming up in a few weeks here in Queensland, where we will bring all those regional winners in. So it's going to be a very hard decision for our judges, because we've got such a high level of entry this year, and also a record number of entries. So I think at last count we're well over 1,300 entries across all regions. So the 14 categories, 1,316 I think it was. So it's shaping up to be a fantastic state final, and I can tell you that whoever takes out each of those categories has well and truly earned it, because the competition along the way has been very steep.
So coming up in the not too distant future, you've got an innovation breakfast.
We do. So we've put on what we're calling our innovation muster. So as you would be aware, there's lots of new innovations emerging in the ag sector generally, and in the meat sector specifically. So what we thought we'd do is to corral a number of speakers across a number of industry sectors to come along and present in a short, sharp, 5-minute presentation with 5 minutes questions what they're doing that's innovative, that's significant or relevant, or has an impact on the meat sector. So we've put together a fairly impressive lineup of speakers, ranging from your good self talking about the Helix Persona data analysis tool, right through to the chairman of the Restaurant and Catering Association in Queensland, who's going to be talking about opportunities for innovative and entrepreneurial retail butchers leading up to Brisbane 2032. There'll be lots of opportunities, we think, for innovative and entrepreneurial retail butchers to present to the world their produce. We've got John Beasley from Vidal's Icon Packaging. They have a new eco-friendly and sustainable packaging solution. And as you may be aware, Queensland has just brought legislation in that has banned single-use plastic. So that is a very timely presentation from John, talking about their answer to the whole no plastic and eco planet friendly meat packaging. We've got Trinity Bond from EnviroChill, who's a company that works in temperature control, temperature monitoring, moisture and bacteria control for the meat sector. Warren Leamy, who's a new partner of AMIC up here in Queensland, from Mitchell Engineering and Food Equipment, and he's talking about the latest innovations in food equipment and engineering. We've got a recruiting company, the Food Industry People Group, talking about innovations in recruitment for the meat sector. And then we've got Jai Falke, the President Australia of Kilcoy Global Foods, who's talking about the recently launched Innovation Hub, the Kilcoy Global Foods Innovation Hub on the Sunshine Coast, which I can tell you from first-hand experience, because we ran our Sunshine Coast Sausage King event up there a few weeks ago. It's a fantastic facility, and Jai is coming along to tell us how that came from dream to delivery, a case study in meat industry innovation. And we've also got a couple of last-minute additions to the program, the Future Feed organization that is the low-emission seaweed food additive company, and AI Queensland, which is the artificial intelligence hub that's being developed by the Queensland government. And they're talking about innovations in the meat sector around artificial intelligence. So for anyone that has any desire to be innovative and forward-thinking and lead the pack in terms of trying new technology or new solutions to existing or old problems, there's a few seats left to the breakfast on Friday, the 8th of October.
Fantastic, mate. I wish I will, hopefully, with a lot of luck, I'd love to get up there and present up there. Otherwise, it will be done, I suppose, artificially from
here. Yes, good old Zoom, Teams meeting, Doug.
Good old Zoom, mate. And what else is going on? You've got a student's intern pilot program as well.
Yeah, so about 6 weeks ago, we launched a pilot program with Navitas Learning, which is an international education organisation, and the Leaders Institute here, which is an international college. So they have a number of agribusiness degree students that are looking for work placements in the ag and food sector. So they came to us and asked whether we would look at taking one or two interns. So we did, and we were very happy with the outcome. So we've just finished with two interns. They've been with us for 3.5 weeks. And I can tell you that if the caliber of young graduate agribusiness degree student coming through, if these guys are any indication, then the future's in good hands. So we gave them a fairly intensive immersion into the meat sector, and they met industry leaders and attended meetings, helped with Sausage King events, helped plan the innovation breakfast, worked on safe food manuals, helped write media releases. They did all sorts of things, helped run the office, answering phones, sending out member packs. So all of that administration behind the scenes, as well as front of house and customer facing experience that we gave them. And we think that once we do a review on the program, that there's a possibility that we may look at extending that in future and rolling it out. But obviously we need to see what impact COVID and resource wise that has. But certainly from a pilot program, I think it was well worth it. And certainly exposed two young, smart students with a very big future to the meat sector, and there's a potential for one of them particularly to, when she graduates at the end of the year, to take a job in the sector, which would be fantastic.
Actually, I did notice that she sent I got an email from that young lady. I figured that she was taking over your role, mate. She was she was very articulate and very thorough. So
she was
absolutely brilliant, mate. That's great. That's a great program to have.
Yeah. So all in all, we've been keeping busy, Doug, and we try to get a little bit ahead of the curve and sort of be proactive rather than reactive. I think particularly in a COVID environment that, we need to be out there talking to people about, what is it that they want from AMIC and hopefully delivering it in a timely and professional manner.
Yeah, no, that's great, mate. It's good to see AMIC out there and about still flying the flag for the butchers and giving whatever assistance they need. It's as part of the membership.
Yeah.
So that's great. So if anybody wanted to join in on the innovation breakfast, how would they go about just contacting you at AMIC? Or
yeah, probably the best thing is to give me a call or an email. And there are a few seats left, but it's filling up pretty quickly. I can take their details and we'll see if we can help them.
Or if they contact us up, contact me through butchers@mla.com.au. I can forward on their details as well.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time tonight, Rog. Great to see you. Well, great to hear you. And good to hear that everything's going well up there for you in Queensland, mate. And I look forward to getting up there and catching up, hopefully with a lot of luck at the Sausage King final.
Great. Thanks, Doug. And stay COVID safe.
Will do, mate. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Last but not least, we've got Rip Atkinson. Rip's our market information analyst at Meat and Livestock Australia. How are you tonight, Rip?
Good, Doug. Good. Good to be here, mate.
That's
excited.
Right. That's very good, mate. So you're out at home. Where's home?
Yeah, so home for me is in northern New South Wales at a town called Tamworth, where family produces up here, been in the bush for a long time. So, yeah, that's where I'm situated at the
moment. Nice place to be. getting out of Sydney for a change. That's a good thing, mate.
Pretty fortunate.
So one of the questions I often get asked, and you're the right bloke to answer that question, mate, is what is the difference between the Wiki and the Ecky, and what does it mean for butchers?
Yeah, so the Western Young Cattle Indicator, the Wiki, and the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator, the Ecky, are both market indicators of what the young cattle prices are doing in certain areas of the country. Now, the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator looks at certain weight, specifically a certain age, and then some other quite technical terms through the states of Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. And the Wiki looks specifically at Western Australia at certain sale yards for the same specifications we say or specs as the Eastern Young Cattle Indicator. Now, it's specific to those areas. The Wiki looks specifically at WA and the Ecky looks specifically at New South Wales, Queensland and South and Victoria, sorry. But what that means for butchers, particularly if you're looking for vealer cattle or, you know, lighter, younger cattle that you'll take straight from the sale yards to use within the butcher, is it'll provide you an indication of what the market price is doing across around, let's say, between 14 and 18 thousand head of cattle yarded across the country every week. And that means it'll give the butchers a really good sense of what the broader cattle market's doing. And if you're looking at purchasing young cattle to take into the retail sector or into your butchery, you'll be able to understand what price you may expect to pay in a carcass weight cents per kilo basis.
Okay. Well explained, mate. No, thanks for that. It's amazing how many times I get that question, but I can't explain it as well as you can because you are the analyst, mate.
Well, look, I try to be Doug. I wouldn't go too far, but yeah, I mean, it's a pretty complicated little thing to get your head around, but I hope I did my best to give your listeners the opportunity to understand.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, mate. So what else is going on? What's happening with the beef job at the moment?
Yeah, so with the beef at the minute, we've actually seen cattle yarding, so supply, come off the boil a little bit. When I say off the boil, again, a bit of a bush term, but supply has softened. Now, with the spring that we expect to see coming, and it's all been, you know, pretty well documented that with the rain that's been seen recently through the bush, what that will do for cattle's growth rates into spring will be very good. So the quality of grass-fed beef that will be coming onto the market over the next couple of months, certainly up until the weather gets hot into summer, will be very good quality, you know, for the most part, if you buy well, with the excellent pasture growth. So the grass that these beef cattle have the opportunity to graze on. Now, supply we do expect to remain tight because we have nationally lower numbers, and with the season continuing, farmers want to hold onto their cattle. But the quality of product that butchers may have access to will be very good, particularly the grass-fed sector.
Does that have any impact on the grain-fed sector as well?
No. So when you look at that, the grain and grass-fed sectors at a finished end product level, or not finished end, but will be different. So the cattle we will see in the sale yards that will be go to process are traditionally grass-finished. Now, the cattle, it won't affect the grain-fed market, but it'll provide opportunities for butchers to find some really high-quality grass-fed and grass-finished, you know, beef cattle.
And what about sheep, mate? Sheep meat, what's happening there?
When I got the opportunity to speak to you guys a couple of weeks, I spoke about some more, you know, long-term things where we're seeing more supply at the minute with what we call the spring flush and lambs coming onto the market where the price softens due to that increase in supply. And that has continued. It has softened a little bit in recent weeks with less lamb supply of that spring flush per se coming onto the market. But again, in 2021, it's still performing quite well, and we're expecting that to continue as more supply comes on to the market, particularly out of Victorian sale yard regions where there are significant volumes of lambs that we see every year be delivered to market. So that's an interesting dynamic to watch over the next couple of weeks.
Definitely, yeah. There's been some great reports of from butchers that I've spoken to over the last week or so. They've had some great lambs coming through. Actually, one of the butchers I saw on his Instagram a couple of days ago, he had a Charolais lamb.
I am across those, and most people, when you hear the word Charolais, you think of the beef breed of animal. And yeah, the old Charolais, they're actually a fantastic meat sheep.
Good yield.
Good yield, really good yield. And their carcass actually, it's funny you ask the question because I'm sort of familiar with them. They've got a great carcass and their yield is good. And I've had them a couple of times. Charolais, brilliant.
Yeah, actually, I only wished I was a bit closer to the butcher shop that was selling it because he had a big tray of cutlets there, your favourite, I think, aren't they?
Crumb cutlets. Certainly are.
Yeah, he had them there and they were big, fat, juicy-looking cutlets. They had a great big eye in them and they just looked, you know, like you'd just about eat them raw.
Well, it's funny you talk of on a more broader section, you know, talking about the eye and whatnot and the yields. With the way the season's been, it'll be really positive to see some larger or some heavier carcasses come onto the market. Now, that's something that is just the way it is at the minute with the season. So there will be some bigger carcasses that will be available in good supply coming onto the market. So a good one for the butchers to watch out if they're chasing a heavier carcass because they won't be in tight supply. There'll be plenty of them.
Yeah, it'll suit some butchers. Some butchers will go for the heavier carcasses, but I think the majority of them, they like to stick around that 20 to 22 kilo carcass weight. Anything over that tends to, I think that the price point becomes a little bit out of reach for some of their customers. But you can certainly get like a lot better yield out of a bigger carcass. I know when I do a demonstration and I'm breaking down lambs for whether it be consumers or industry, I always go for a bigger carcass because you've just got so much more to show the customer. You know, you can really got a lovely big eye muscle there to display.
Yeah. And I mean, just to make your listeners very well aware, yes, there will be some heavier carcasses, but it's certainly not going to take away from the supply. There'll be really good of those lambs you talk about, Doug, of that, you know, 20 to 22 kilo carcass. So just want to make that clear that there's not going to be a shortage of those either. Plenty for everyone.
Yeah, beautiful. That's what we like to hear. All right, Rip. Well, mate, thank you very much. I'll let you get back out to the paddock tonight and enjoy your few days back at home, and I'll look forward to catching up with you next time.
Looking forward to it. And thanks for having me once again. Just about to duck off with a little bit of rain falling, so plenty to do.
Terrific, mate. All the best.
Thanks, Doug. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Australian Butchers Guild podcast. Don't forget to follow us so you can get notified when the new episodes are available. If you'd like any more information that was brought up on today's episode, please contact us at butchers@mla.com.au.
You've been listening to the Australian Butchers Guild podcast, produced by The Sound Business.